Good morning. Glad you're able to join in hearing God's Word today. Have you ever played a game that's called a telephone tag, or maybe the telephone game? It's a pretty simple game. You start out by having two lines of the same amount of people, and starting from the front of the line, you give a message to the two people at the front of both lines, and they in turn are to pass on the exact message that they receive to the next person in line, and that person in turn turns around, passes that same message to the next person standing behind them. The object of this game is not just to be the first team to get the message from first person to last person, but it's just as important, if not even more important, to accurately transmit or pass on the message from one person to the next person. And if you ever played this game, you know that half the fun is seeing how oftentimes the message, as it's getting passed from one person to the next, oftentimes ends up getting changed, things getting forgotten to be passed on from one person to the next, sometimes even things getting added from what the original message was, to where at the end of that line, oftentimes you have them recite what they heard or what they received, and it's often very different from the original message. This morning we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture which talks about a message which is given, and a message which is then passed on to other people. And we're going to see what exactly is the content of the message, and how does the individual receiving this message, what do they do with that message? And are they able to then pass it on to the next person? This morning, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of John, chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 43 to 51. So John, chapter 1, verse 43 to 51. Before we continue, though, let me open this in prayer. Our Lord God, I pray that as we look into your word, Lord, that we are not just looking at it through our own eyes, hearing your word through our own ears, but Lord, that we are allowing you to fill us so that we see and we hear the things that you desire us. Lord, I pray that it's not just seeing for our own benefit, hearing for our own good, but so that others are blessed, Lord, that others are benefited from this, Lord. Ultimately, Lord, that you are glorified above all else. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of John, chapter 1. Again, we're going to be looking at verses 43 to 51. And if you've been with us for the last couple of weeks, you know that I've been focusing on a sermon series called The Call of Jesus. And it involves Jesus' call to different people in different circumstances or settings of life. We've looked at several sets of brothers, James and his brother John. We've seen Peter and his brother Andrew. We've also looked at Jesus' call to Levi, who we later know as Matthew. And this morning we're going to be looking at Jesus' call to Philip and Nathanael. So let me read, starting in John chapter 1, verse 43. And in verse 43 to verse 46, we see what I would call a chain reaction for Christ. A chain reaction for Christ. says in verse 43, "The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.'" Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Again, we see it, what I would describe as a chain reaction for Christ. Starting in verse 43, we're told that this is, again, occurring around the region of Galilee, which is considered part of northern Israel. Where the area where Jesus grew up, or you could say his hometown. And Jesus finds Philip and says to him, "Follow me." And if you've been with us the last several weeks, you know that this is the same message that Jesus gave to Andrew and his brother Peter, John and his brother James, to follow me. And just like with Peter and Andrew, just like with James and John, Jesus is telling Philip, "Follow me." But it's not just a question, not just a statement, not just even a desire on his part, but it is a command that Jesus is giving. "I want you, Philip, to follow me. I order you, Philip, to follow me." It shows Jesus' intent and desire for Philip to follow him. But notice Philip's response. Philip, in verse 45, then finds Nathanael, just like Jesus found Philip, taking the initiative to find Philip, rather than, you could say, Philip finding Jesus. It's Jesus that finds Philip. Philip, in turn, finds Nathanael. And he says to him, "We've found him who Moses is talked about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Philip." Philip, in turn, after being found by Jesus and being given a message, in turn, finds Nathanael and says, "Come, see what we've found." Nathanael, in essence, says, "Hey, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Maybe you could say he's kind of putting down the city of Nazareth because maybe to him it seems impossible. It seems rather, he's rather skeptical. Nazareth wasn't, let's just say, it wasn't on one of the top 10 cities in Israel at the time, okay? It probably would have been more towards the bottom. And so he's a little skeptical of anything good or anything worthwhile coming out of Nazareth. But Philip's response is to him in verse 46 to come and see. Check it out yourself. Right? And he's inviting Nathanael to see with his own eyes, to not just hear with his ears what Philip is telling him, but to see it with his own eyes. And this word "see," it's more than just physically seeing something, but I would say that this word "see" goes beyond just seeing physically, but actually I would describe it, or it can be described as having perhaps spiritual perception, going beyond just seeing physically to suggesting a spiritual insight, if you will. So you're not just going to see with your own physical eyes, but you have to, if you will, see with your spiritual heart. this is how I want you, Nathaniel, to come and see for yourself what Jesus is saying. In this process or this chain reaction, this message goes from one person to the next. It goes from Jesus to Philip, Philip to Nathaniel. So it's this passing along, if you will, or a chain reaction of a message that's been given. For some of you who are Christians, thinking back to how you became a believer in Christ, the circumstances, the settings in which you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I would probably guess that it was an individual or another person who shared Christ with you. Or maybe it was a number of people who shared about Christ being God's Son, being the Savior, dying on the cross for your sins, offering salvation or forgiveness, reconciliation with God. And through this person, or maybe series of persons, you came to know Christ as your Savior and Lord. Now maybe there are times or there are people that come to know Christ not through a particular person, but maybe through a Bible tract. Maybe they're reading the Bible themselves and they are convicted, or they receive Christ through their own means, through their own avenue. But for most of us, including myself, there is a particular person who shares Christ, or we're told about the gospel through that person. In this chain reaction for Christ, the message goes from one person to the next. One person telling another person who tells another person. There is a chain reaction of this message that Christ gives, which is passed on from person to person. And for you, perhaps the message of Christ was given to you through another person. Who was that person? Maybe a friend, maybe a family member, maybe a classmate, maybe a coworker. But think about how different your life may have been, would have been, if you did not receive the message, if you did not hear the message of Jesus through that person. Perhaps you would have come to Christ in some other way, through some other person, through some other means, at some other time in the future. But then again, you may never have heard the message of Christ. You may never have received Christ if it wasn't for this particular person. And my guess is that that person who shared Christ with you received it through another person who shared Christ with them. This chain reaction for Christ. And perhaps for some of us, God is calling you, God is challenging you to be part of this chain reaction, to be the next link, if you will, in this chain of passing this message of Christ on. Both receiving it, first and foremost, and then passing it on to another person. Who might God be calling you to pass on this message of Christ? Or perhaps to receive the message of Christ yourself. Where are you in this link or this chain for Christ? Well, let's go on. Let's look at verses 47 to 49. We've seen this chain reaction for Christ in the earlier verses, 43 to 46. Now we want to look at verses 47 to 49. It's what I would describe as a comment from Christ, as well as a confession for Christ. So let me read, starting in verse 47. It says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." It's interesting, if you look at verse 47, Jesus' comment to Nathanael. He says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Now, just looking at the verse, this verse in and of itself might be interpreted one of two ways. On one hand, he could be paying a compliment to Nathanael, because he's saying that, hey, there's no deceit, there's no deception, there's no crookedness, underhandedness in you. But on the other hand, he could be making a kind of a swipe. Instead of praising Nathanael for these qualities, he could be almost kind of like passing judgment, or making kind of a backhanded remark about Nathanael, saying that basically that he's a little self-centered. It's almost like he's using irony to describe Nathanael. And it seems as if it's more of the latter, where it's more of a swipe at Nathanael. It's a kind of a backhanded comment that Jesus makes about Nathanael, based on what Nathanael says in response to verse 48. He says, "How do you know me?" And it's almost as if Nathanael is almost like egotistically being stroked, or his ego is being inflated by Jesus' comment that there's no deceit in him. And Jesus, of course, goes on and says, basically telling him what he was doing before Philip called him. And it seems as if Nathanael is kind of soaking in this compliment, the quote-unquote compliment that he's received from Jesus. But notice his answer in verse 49 says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus' comment to him, not there being no deceit in him, and telling him exactly what he was doing prior to Philip calling him, Nathanael responds by saying that, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Based on Nathanael's response, I would look at Jesus' earlier comment about him in verse 47. It has not a swipe on Israel, not a criticism on Nathanael, but actually a compliment. He's actually praising Nathanael for being one who has no deceit. Not that he's perfect, not that he's without fault or without sin, but he desires to be honest, truthful, righteous, a person of integrity. And then Nathanael's comment of, "How do you know me?" simply reflects his honest yet humble attitude, and that he does seek to be truthful, to be righteous. Again, not that he's perfect, but that is a something that he desires for his life. And he's simply reflecting that in this comment of, how do you know me? How do you know that that's my heart desire? That's not bragging, not being boastful. And then in verse 49, where he declares, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. A honest and humble proclamation or honor bestowed upon Jesus, recognizing Jesus has the Son of God, recognizing Jesus has the true King of Israel. And it's interesting how there are two terms that Nathanael says about Jesus, which we will talk about in the next passage that we see. Because in verses 50 to 51, we wrap up by looking at what I would call the coronation of Christ. We've talked about the chain reaction for Christ. We've talked about the comment from Christ, as well as the confession for Christ. Now we want to wrap up and look at the coronation for Christ. And that's found in verse 50 to 51, where Jesus says that Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He tells Nathanael that you're going to see greater things done in and through your life. You will see greater things happen than my telling you what you were doing just before this. You will see in verse 51, heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon him. If you've been with us prior to this message series, you might recall that in our message series through looking at the Old Testament character of Jacob, that Jacob experienced something somewhat similar to what Jesus is telling Nathanael about. Where the heavens were open and the angels of God were ascending and descending. Specifically talking about Jacob having a dream. And in his dream, there was a ladder reaching to heaven. And if you remember, in Genesis chapter 28, the angels of God were ascending and descending on this ladder. Somewhat similar, if you will, to what Jesus describes as the angels of God ascending and descending, not on a ladder, but on the Son of Man. And he goes back to use this specific phrase, the Son of Man, in comparison to the other description of Jesus given by Nathanael in verse 49 as the Son of God. And just really quickly, these two different ways, you could say, of describing or maybe even titles given to Jesus. In verse 49, where Nathanael says, you are the Son of God. And now in verse 51, where Jesus says of himself that the angels of God will ascend and descend on the Son of Man. These two terms, Son of God and Son of Man. On one hand, the Son of God reflects the deity, the full deity, divinity of Jesus as God, 100% fully God. The reference to the term Son of Man in verse 51 would refer or points to not so much the deity or the divinity of God, of Jesus, that would be the Son of God, but the Son of Man representing or reflecting more of Jesus' full humanity. And you have this perfect dual picture of Jesus as fully God, Son of God, and fully man, Son of Man, complete deity, divinity, as well as complete humanity, or fullness of humanity. Jesus is completely God and completely man. Nathanael comes to realize this, that Jesus is both God, fully God, and fully man. We've talked about how Philip and Nathanael, through them, we have seen this chain reaction of passing along a message. We've seen the comment that Christ makes about them and their confession for Christ. We've talked about how Christ is exalted as fully God and fully man, or you could say a coronation. But what will we see in Philip and Nathanael's life moving forward? Because no doubt about it, this experience, it's a tremendous experience. It's a tremendous event that is happening in Philip and Nathanael's life. But more than that, we want to look at what will take place in their life going forward. And we don't have hours and weeks and months to talk about this. We simply need to look at a few passages of scripture to see what happened in the life of Philip and Nathanael going forward. That through this experience, through this event, we are told in the scriptures that both Philip and Nathanael will become leaders in the New Testament church, in the early church. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 4 to 8, and as well as in chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, we're told that Philip becomes a leader in the early church. And he proclaims the gospel, brings the message of the good news of Jesus Christ to the Samaritans, who at that point, the northern kingdom of Israel was no longer, had been overcome, had been overrun by the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and the northern kingdom of Israel no longer existed, was now called Samaria. And the Samaritans, the true Israelites, the Israelites that were 100% ethnically Jewish, did not, in general, get along well with the Samaritans. They didn't look too kindly upon the Samaritans because the Samaritans were, in their minds, half-breeds. Partly Jewish, but partly Gentile. And yet, Philip takes the gospel message to the people of Samaria. Nathanael, on the other hand, in the days, months, and years to come after this experience in the book of John, in John chapter 21, verses 1 to 3, which tells us about how Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. Nathanael being listed as one of those disciples. Nathanael continues to grow and follow Christ after this experience that we read in John chapter 1. And based on what could best be described as extra biblical records, which is beyond the Bible, I guess you could say, works that may or may not be authentic, but they would suggest that Nathanael actually took the gospel message and ministered in the country or the region of Persia, which would be modern day Iran, as well as perhaps took the message of the gospel to India. But for sure, again, that's what extra biblical records suggest that. But we know that for sure that Nathanael also followed Jesus and became a witness for him following his resurrection. For Nathanael and Philip, this message that they received, this call that they received from Jesus, they in turn pass on to other people. They are faithful in passing along the message that they receive. Perhaps for some of us, God is calling and challenging you to pass on this message that you have received. This message that you have received from someone else. Maybe a friend, maybe a family member, a coworker, or a classmate. They have shared the gospel with you, and you are being called, challenged to now pass on that same message to someone else. Maybe a family member, maybe a friend, coworker, classmate. Who is it that God is calling you to pass on the message of Christ to? Maybe God is also calling you to grow in your faithfulness to Him. Grow in your desire to know Him. Pursue him more, just like with Philip and Nathanael as they began their journey with Christ. They would continue to be a salt and light to him, bringing the gospel to other individuals, like the Samaritans with Philip, possibly with like Nathanael, bringing the message to other regions of the Middle East. Perhaps God is calling, challenging you to not only grow in knowledge of Christ, but also grow in the message of Christ to bring it to other people around you. Let me close this in prayer, and then we'll be done. Father, again, we thank you, Lord, that as we look in today's message, Lord, that we are reminded, Lord, that there are men and women who have come before us, Lord, who have been faithful in not only receiving the message of Christ, but passing on the message of Christ to other people, that we more than likely are recipients of that message. Someone took the time, had the willingness of heart, of obedience to you, to share the message of the good news with us. And Lord, that we would also, in turn, communicate, pass on that same message of Christ to someone that you've placed in our life. Lord, that it may not be easy. They may ridicule us. They may even reject us. But Lord, ultimately, Lord, it is not us that they are ridiculing. It is not us that they are rejecting. Lord, but it is you. And so we pray, Lord, that ultimately, Lord, that they would receive not us, but you as their Lord and Savior. Again, we thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go and have a blessed day. To see you soon. God bless.